Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
If you haven't gotten the context clues, it's Kent Swanson now of the KC Sports Network back in the building.
Yeah, it's the opportunity we've been waiting for to talk to you again, finally. There's been some restrictions there.
Right.
And now I get to hang out with you again. It has been 3 years since I've been on this show.
Death is a big restriction.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It has been a very long time since we have had the distinct pleasure of sitting down to have a chat with my dear friend Kent Swanson of the KC Sports Network. You can read all of their work at kcsn.substack.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. You can get all of the work they do if you follow him on Twitter. He tweets out all the links and everything. But obviously, you know, I've had a pretty eventful sort of recent past. Some people could say traumatic last month or so. And, Kent, I mean, you have too, because we've been watching the Chiefs defense for this last month. And I got to say, it's the most painful, most scary, most sort of detrimental to my health thing that I've experienced at any point in the year 2021, for sure.
That's saying something, Joshua. You've been through a lot. Hey, and by the way, really quick, about three, four weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at my Twitter. It's got, you know, a little over 13,000 followers. then I go and look at Joshua Briscoe, and I see, you know, he's at least, you know, a few hundred more. But I'm like, wow, I'm really closing the gap on this guy. And then you go through this catastrophic, you know, October or September, and I just gotta say, buddy, you're at 15,000 followers now. Congratulations, but also there's a lot easier ways to try to pad your stats on me.
I noticed this the second or third day I was awake again, and I noticed it, and I think I made a joke to like Renee or my mom, but I wasn't gonna even tweet about it because like, it was too soon even for me as I was sort of figuring out what had happened there. But I did notice. I picked up, like, I don't know, 500 or 600 followers, and all I had to do was almost die.
You know, hey, you know, there's less desperate ways to do it. Like, honestly, I would rather you go out. I'll help fund it next time. I'll go help you fund a bot farm that you can just go and capture a bunch of fake followers. Yeah. There's got to be an easier way to do this. I don't even care about this fake Twitter follower feud anymore. Like, that's the point we're at.
I just, for me, I got to think about it as you know, one of those little silver linings, you know, where you wake up in the hospital and everything is confusing and you can't figure out why everyone is telling you that so many people have reached out to say how much they care about you. And you're just trying to figure out when someone put a catheter in you. You know, on the other side of that, to realize you've got 500 or 600 new friends following you on Twitter, and by the way, it's 15.1 now. I just wanted to correct you on that. You know, it was a nice little pick me up whenever all I could eat was, hospital Jell-O.
I think what I should have done if I had been smart is I should have directed them to your dad's Twitter account to help grow those stats. Because I started following him to get updates, you know, to get updates on your situation. And maybe I should have tried to divert some of that to kind of give myself a puncher's chance now. Because now we're back to, you know, there's a big gap here between us now, buddy. I'm pretty frustrated. It's going to take me a while to get back there. I might have to go to the hospital at this point.
You should have tweeted out like, hey, in an hour I'm going to give an update on Josh's condition, just make sure you follow me, and then I'll tweet something out. And then just in an hour, like, you could have put something up and tried to get yourself a little bit of that a little bit of that sweet Twitter clout, you know, and I was unconscious at that point. My dad was tweeting stuff out, so you could have definitely gotten in on that game for sure. Frankly, I'm surprised that nobody did. Did you see the Reddit thread by any chance?
Oh, no, I did not. Is there a Reddit thread on your health?
So Renee found this somehow. It was either on the Chiefs subreddit or the Kansas City. I think it was on the Chiefs subreddit, which is largely filled with great content, and the people that I have interacted with from the Chiefs subreddit are wonderful. But somebody had shared, I think my, I don't know, there was some one of the vague early updates or something. And there are lots of people that said very nice things that I went back and read, but to be honest, I went back and read through them to find the specific conversation that Renee told me about, which was that one person was like, I don't know, man, this sounds like a drug overdose.
No.
And then somebody else responded with, like, that doesn't really seem like Briscoe's speed, but I don't know. And then someone then put up my dad's update later, and the initial person was like, I'm sorry for saying that it sounded like a drug overdose. I was wrong. And, you know, it's just a wonderful world and a very strange one.
I just, like, do you love that at least there's a subsection of people that think your brand could support you being on drugs?
I do. You know what? Now that you say it that way, I do. I like that there's a wide variety of options for what my personal life is like to a certain subset of people. And that, you know, yeah, again, maybe I'm on some sort of hard drugs right now. I will cop to this here on the show. I am currently injecting myself with a hormone on a 3 or 4 time a day basis at this point. It's insulin, and it's because my pancreas is effed up, but it's like, I'm learning a new relationship with needles right now. Like that's true.
Well, some people believe it's not your first time with needles.
That's right. Yeah, and that, you know, again, I think you asked if I like that, and I don't know that I like that, but it's made me laugh several times thinking about that. I'm going to see if I can find the specific phrasing from this one commenter, and then we can...
I need it. I genuinely need to hear this.
It's just absolutely bonkers. How have you been in the last month? You want to tell me how? This is the first time we've gotten to, like, have a good chat. We can talk about the Chiefs in a second. Everyone's kind of burnt out on them, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about all the ways that they've had some nonsense.
Yeah, man. I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. You know, I've got a 3-month-old now.
Yeah, so how's baby number two doing?
He's doing good, except for the part where, you know, he's not sleeping well in the middle of the night. He likes to vomit all over his dad. Those are always really fun combinations of things happening. Josh, I can't tell you how numb I am to it. It's like numb to being vomited on. It's just a weird existence where you are so apathetic to the fact that this little human is just spitting up everything you tried to feed him with. And, yeah, so that's my update. Oh, yeah, you know, Casey Sports Network doing good, all that good stuff. It's been fun. If you were a subscriber, you might have got an invite to a party we had last weekend. So there's some really fun stuff we're doing here, and especially if you're a paid subscriber.
WTF, normally I'd assume it's probably drug-related, but that seems way out of character for Briscoe. Just saw the last thing he tweeted was that he was feeling bad after the end of a post-game show, which is probably the last thing that I tweeted. That makes sense. Let's see here. Someone said they didn't think it was drugs. That's nice.
Rule it out.
Do appreciate them ruling that out. And then beyond that, it's a bunch of... you know, very kind things. Oh, hold on. Somebody's got a bunch of, I just found this one with a bunch of downvotes. Do you want me to read the one with a bunch of downvotes that I just found? This one's hidden
Absolutely. Because
of how many downvotes it has. Man, best wishes, as I don't believe in the traditional sense. Thank you for that. Hopefully it was just young people getting laced drugs. Be as easy as you can and as calm as possible.
Hopefully it's only heroin.
There are some deleted comments also with lots of downvotes that are really frustrating that I would love. I would love for if there's a moderator from the Chiefs subreddit who can undelete those for me, I'd love to read them.
You probably have that clout in that space at this point.
I feel like I could at least give it a shot.
Someone could give you a screenshot. You could probably get, you know, a screenshot on the black market somewhere, you know.
The same place that I buy my laced drugs is where I'll buy a screenshot of the archived version of that Twitter thread. I'll just get my pills and my screen caps from this one-stop shop.
Mean Briscoe deleted Reddit post.
I'm not even sure they were mean. They might have just been trying to figure out what party drug I prefer.
I'm surprised that's not legal on Reddit, frankly.
I think someone either got shamed into deleting them or somebody else said this seems irresponsible. It's definitely legal, I think. You know, like I could just say, like, you mentioned that your baby's spitting up all the time. Has your baby been doing any Molly?
only on the weekend.
That's good. It's about compartmentalizing.
Yeah, you gotta first do the right thing at the right time.
That's right.
You know?
You have to have a good balance.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's good to hear your voice again. It's good to talk to you again. And, I mean, it's only going to get more unpleasant from here. So I just want to make sure that you're okay with that.
Yeah, I just want to say genuinely, buddy, I'm glad you're doing better. I'm glad that, you know, all things considered. I'm glad you're live. I'm glad I'm talking to you as well for different reasons. And I'm glad you were able to leverage this into some sweet, sweet Twitter clout. So.
Thank you. That all sounded very genuine all the way to the end. let's talk about some of the great work that you could read right along with at kcsn.substack.com. I can't even remember how much it is to subscribe for a year. I've already forgotten because it doesn't matter because it's worth it. That's the – or you could tell me if you want to tell everyone exactly how they can sign up and everything. But I'm a subscriber. I was a subscriber, you know, an early adopter, and I'm very happy that I am. So take my word for it, I guess. But – or yours, I suppose.
Well, yeah, no, you can – you can get it for $50 for an entire year, and you get
that's
daily.
That's just what you write, though, right?
Oh yeah, no, it's only me.
That's not true.
I'm just
not true.
I've just priced
joke.
Myself significantly higher than Seth. Craig's is Craig's actually so mine's $50, and Craig and Maddie's is free. That's
wow.
How that works.
Wow. Okay. Well, Craig has the OnlyFans income stream that is mostly carrying his sort of online presence.
He's got such a diversified portfolio, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
He's just trying to help the little man. But I do want to say there's something that we are kind of doing that's pretty cool. If you buy a subscription, a year-long subscription, we will actually donate 5 Cookie Society cookies. Those are the Jeff Fallon cookies. You know, Mark, I think, you know, he was on a commercial during the NBA Finals. It was one of Oprah's favorite things. They're phenomenal. I can vouch for these cookies. They're incredible. But what we're doing is we're doing Feed It Forward with Cookie Society, and we're giving cookies to teachers every week. So we're donating 100 cookies to a different school every single week. We're doing Kansas side, Missouri side. So, you know, if you donate or if you, you know, if you get a year-long subscription, we're going to donate an additional 5 cookies to a school.
That's
so
awesome.
That's something you can do on top of, you know, you're going to get the content. You're going to get the written content. We do a lot of video breakdowns. We have parties and events. We had an event this last weekend at Holiday Distillery in Weston, Missouri for subscribers. It was an awesome time, and we got more stuff planned in the future. So there's a lot of cool stuff we're doing.
Super cool. So again, kcsn.substack.com for that. You get the whole gang's work there for $50 a year plus all of that. And speaking of altruistic acts of charity, I do want to talk to you about the Chiefs defense. That's my second joke about the Chiefs defense. I could have even
we still haven't talked about him.
Yeah, that's true. It's appropriately so. But you know, like with the Feed It Forward thing, you know, you're able to provide, you know, something, a very cool opportunity to and you know, benefit to all these teachers and everything, which is again a great awesome thing that you guys are doing. And you know, I would say charity only rivaled by continuing to play Dan Sorensen 100% of the snaps. And that's our third one. Okay, comedy comes in threes. Comes in threes, everybody.
That was easily your worst one, though.
Yeah.
You were really stretching really hard there.
No, I
you know, also stretching really hard to try to keep up with the Bills receivers running past him was Dan Sorensen.
You know, you could say that I had that joke right in front of me, and I went for it, and I just absolutely whiffed. And you know who that reminds me of? Let's start with the defense. What can they do right now? Whenever you go back, because we can see that things are bad. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but no particular unit has played particularly well. I don't think that there's anything that they can hang their hat on, identity-wise, even at this point. Like, not even Spags blitzing like crazy seems like it's even really held any water to this point. So if you have anything you want to add on that front, if you think that there's anything or anyone that I'm missing that has like somehow played great football with 9 or 10 guys around them that have not played particularly good football, feel free to correct me. But I'm more interested even in what you think could possibly be done at this point.
I mean, hazing the barn in so much of this, and like from a talent perspective, I just don't see it. I think there's a lot of questions, and everybody shares a little bit of it. I mean, Andy, I think, kind of alluded to that, and offensively too, they share a little bit. But if you look at the defensive side of the football, talent wise, I don't think I think you know, there was a lot of optimism about this defensive front. I was one of the guys leading the charge, and granted, there's been some health issues, but Jaren Reed and Derek Nnadi are having a pretty poor year. It makes me question some things. Like, talent-wise, you're looking at a group that just isn't as talented. And teams are really able to expose, you know, certain deficiencies of certain players. Like, I think the second level of the defense is just getting absolutely abused, and there's no solution to it except hoping Willie Gay can help close that gap just a little bit. You know, the outside corners has never been a problem. Like, you know, the Chiefs have not spent more than $5 million, I think, on a corner in the Brett Veach era. I think they spent like $4 million on Bashaud Breeland last year. And they're finally getting exposed. And you look at Dan Sorensen, and we've fed that horse a few times here, right?
Yeah. It's bordering on bullying, honestly.
I know. I saw someone on Twitter trying to buy Dan Sorensen out of his contract, like a petition. And he's on a 1-year deal. I don't know exactly. I think that's just released Dan Sorensen, but I'm not sure. But I mean, there's so many issues, and like I tweeted out the other day, like the only thing that this Chiefs defense has really done in the last 2 years since their Super Bowl win is get older and slower.
Yeah.
I mean, they're leaning on a lot of these veterans, and the veterans are making a lot of critical errors. The veterans are all a couple steps slower than they used to be. So it's a really bad combo, and especially when, you know, they've done so much to try to get by at certain positions, like at corner.
Where did we get that wrong? Because in the analysis, because, you know, I can forgive everybody on Jaren Reed. Like, he was a guy that came from another team, and everyone gets hyped about bringing in a free agent. And also, the Chiefs sold us a bill of goods on Jaren Reed that has, you know, just not been cashed at this point. He was going to be the thing that allowed Chris Jones to maybe be a little bit less dominant, but in a more important position or whatever, because Jaren Reed was going to be, you know, 80% of Chris Jones or whatever, which, again, has obviously not come to fruition. But where was the analysis in the preseason from, you know, the vast majority of us? What did we miss? Is it the fact that we assume improvement when in reality Anthony Hitchens and Dan Sorensen are a step slower? Tyrann Mathieu might be a step slower. I don't think he's like the problem or anything. But all of these guys that are up there a little bit, are we just seeing a negative regression from a million different points on the defense, or is there something else going on there?
Well, I mean, I think we fell for some fool's gold in the preseason because I think you watched how these guys were having success, how a lot of these guys were having success, and it made you think it would translate well. You know, I mean, I think there's a little bit of that because of the way some of these guys were playing. It was probably a little bit of fool's gold, especially up front. You know, getting excited about Willie Gay, and then Willie Gay gets hurt. I mean, I think Willie Gay's impact, if he was in game 5 of this season instead of his first game, would have been, you know, he might have helped.
Yeah.
In a couple of these, you know, maybe the things are a little bit different and enough plays are made. I mean, the Chiefs have 3 losses, and this week was an absolute embarrassing blowout, but the 2 games before that, it wasn't like they were, I mean, these were close games. A couple of plays go here and there differently, and maybe the outcome is different. And maybe Willie Gay is enough to make one play differently, you know? So, you know, there's a little bit of that. And that's not to say they're good, but I think, you know, there's that. And boy, some of these guys just do look a little bit older. Yeah. And, you know, they looked a little bit more spry in the preseason. The Hitchens looked a lot more spry in the preseason. So, I think it's a combination of a lot of little things, and it's painful to watch, and it doesn't seem like there's really any substantive solution right now.
The one other thing that I might be willing to do a little bit of on just sort of big picture defense stuff is to assume that, like, almost statistically throughout the history of this sport, it's almost impossible for it to be as bad as it was on Sunday night for the rest of the season. Like, that eventually there is some sort of positive regression somewhere in there. What is your best guess of what the defense looks like for the rest of the year? What it looks like in January?
I don't think they're going to be as bad as this. I hope they're not as bad as this. And when you got to look at who they've played. They've played the 4-1 Bills. They've played the 4-1 Ravens. They've played the 3-2 Browns, whose only losses are the Chiefs and the 4-1 Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, it's not like this group is, you know, they haven't got to line up against the Falcons.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's probably not as bad as this looks. It's just terrible timing for them to have to just play all these teams back to back to back. You know, I think they'll probably get a little bit more pressure as the season goes on. I think the game script will allow Spags to get into his bag a little bit more, because that's part of it. You know, the Chiefs haven't been able to, you know, change the game script at any point in the game to really put a lot of pressure on a team. And I think the Eagles game was really the only game that's kind of happened. The Chiefs get up 2 scores. Teams have to kind of start adjusting things a little bit to account for that. So, you know, that's where, you know, complimentary football, not turning the football over and putting teams in a situation where maybe they have to play from behind a little bit, which hasn't happened a ton, that could be really beneficial to this team too, and help even some things out. It could start this week with Washington.
Yeah. Okay, here's my last defensive thing, because you mentioned this in your like post-game reaction piece on KCSN with everybody else. And you specifically mentioned the explosive plays, and I mean, we could talk about Dan Sorensen, but I don't really want to anymore. But in a lot of cases, there have been the explosive plays, and then also, especially against the Eagles, and this is something that Seth laid out in his piece that I just the one screen cap of the one play where the Eagles had straight up 3 different pass catchers open at 3 different depths, and Jalen Hurts just happened to take the short one, which still ended up being a first down. But the thing that I think Seth has mentioned this of, like, for people who are angry at Spags doesn't have any plays in the playbook called "Don't cover that guy," you know, and maybe an exception of a, you know, cover zero blitz. I don't know. And certainly there's no plays that say don't cover anyone. There are either execution issues or miscommunication issues or discipline issues or something. We had the play in the Bills game where you have 2 linebackers with their back to a wide open running back in the middle of the field catching a pass. Like, there have been so many instances of various things like that this year that have not, like, been a hallmark of Steve Spagnuolo's notoriously undisciplined defenses. That's not what he's been, at least here in Kansas City. So what do you see going on in that particular aspect? And is there anything to be done with that?
Man, that's such a loaded question.
Is it? I didn't mean for it to be.
It's just so hard. It doesn't make sense. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is year 3 of the Steve Spagnuolo defense, and you're seeing guys that have been here for a long time that are, you know, like, Anthony Hitchens looks lost half the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dan Sorensen has no clue what kind of level of athleticism he has at this point or something, because it might just be his eye discipline. It's just his eye discipline is egregious. You know, like, there's just little things that, like, just don't make sense, you know, about why a team with so many veteran leaders is struggling so much to get lined up. And, I mean, like, we go back to getting lined up simply. Like, teams are going tempo and putting this team in a really tough spot. And, guys are, you know, wide open, or, you know, like the Chargers go into tempo all the time. It's the same kind of thing as like these miscommunications, these struggles. It's just so hard to unpack this very layered conversation. And I do think Steve Spagnuolo has to wear some of this. Like, mm-hmm. I absolutely has to wear some of this, because, you know, there, if you're not able to get lined up, granted it's year three, if you're not able to get lined up and you're not able to get into stuff, you got to simplify some things. At least be more simplified in some of the, you know, early down situations and hope to get into your bag, because there's just so many layers to the communication and but like some things just don't make logical sense. And that's what's so difficult about this, is like, this is year three and there's a lot of veterans that are making a lot of these mistakes.
Right. Well, and so this is something that I kind of threw out as a very sort of working theory and not much more than that. But just it got the synapses firing of, remember whenever Spags got to town and a couple of those guys that were holdovers from Bob Sutton's defense were like immediately talking. I think Charvarius Ward might have been one of the guys even. We're immediately talking about how Spagnuolo's defense is easier to learn. And that it's more simple out of the gate, and it wasn't even. It never felt to me like that was a loaded word. Of it's not a simplistic defense, but that you have like a job on a given play instead of having Bob Sutton, as far as I can remember, and as far as I could tell at the time, trying to ask his linebackers to, you know, be ready to do three different things, and then read and read and read and react. And by the time you've reacted, the ball's already passed you. I am interested if you think there might be anything to Spags in year three's trying to add more wrinkles or trying to evolve or trying to do something that maybe taking a step back into the defense that was more simplified, also with a handful of newcomers, some young guys getting more work. Could that be something that could give them a little bit of a boost or something that Spags has to evaluate? Or is it, I think this is a worst case scenario, is it NFL defenses or NFL offenses having a better grasp of what Spags likes to do and having better answers for it?
Well, I mean, the Chiefs play a lot of cover too. And so teams, you know, like some of these teams might have been focusing more on trying to beat some of the cover two looks that this team, you know, presents. It does kind of make you wonder. There's some things that make you wonder if maybe Spags is mixing some stuff up. And I mean, Matty Lane has really kind of been talking a little bit about this. I don't know if he's written about it as much, but you know, you look at, you know, so let's just look just up front on the defensive line. It kind of seems like, you know, Brandon Staley likes to run this kind of gap and a half scheme where, you know, the defensive linemen are responsible for a gap, might be peeking to try to help close, you know, a gap adjacent to it, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a look that kind of helps you with your box numbers in the box, you know. And you know, there's been some speculation, you know, like the way that as poorly as the defensive line is played and as poorly as, you know, like Derek Nnadi looks like he's having the worst year as a Chief and Jaron Reed looks completely lost at this point. You just wonder if, you know, like it kind of looked at times like they might be playing some stuff up front because they're not getting any push up front. Mm. You know, they're not really changing the line of scrimmage at all. And at times they're really getting beat, you know, on down the line of scrimmage. So you wonder if there are some things that he's trying to do a little bit differently in this year three, and maybe, you know, he took for granted the baseline. And that can be dangerous. And actually in year two, he talked a lot. I remember beginning of the year, he talked a lot about how you start from scratch and you build from scratch. And maybe that wasn't the exact same thing in year three as it was in year two.
Hmm. Well, I can take that and we can talk about the offense, which usually is the chaser for whatever gross shot we just took. But it's just sort of two shots now of, you know, absent or whatever. Don't tell Reddit, though, because that'll be a whole thing. I'm going to just read a paragraph from you also from your like quick reaction here after the game of talking about Patrick Mahomes. You wrote, "The all-world quarterback didn't have it today. He was inaccurate, throwing the ball short of receivers. He seemed to lack confidence in the offense at times, throwing short of the sticks when he normally keeps firing. He was also early to exit the pocket frequently." Was that Patrick Mahomes' worst game of football as a professional?
Oh, yeah, probably. And it rivals, I can't remember which game it was earlier this year, but he's had a couple, you know, games that are, I don't want to call them stinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's tough to call it a stinker because his stinker is like, I'm going to throw a couple picks and, you know, but he's had a couple of these multi-interception games and there's things that were just our barometer is so off because of how good he is and how good he's been that it's making it very difficult for us to kind of separate, you know, a good and a bad performance. It's like it's not good and bad. It's like good and it's not great, you know. But he's definitely not been the same dude we're accustomed to seeing. I mean, 5.9 yards per attempt in this game. That was against the Chargers. He had 5.9 yards per attempt against the Chargers, and I'll go look it up again for the Bills game. Like, he's had, you know, some games where he's really throwing short of the sticks, and I'm 5 yards.
Yeah, say five even against the Bills.
Yeah. So a couple of these games that we're kind of calling stinkers, there's a common thread here, right? And, you know, teams are really hell-bent on taking away the explosive plays for this team. And Patrick Mahomes is having to be very patient. And I think there's some times where the game script's getting to him. Mm. And he's trying to force the issue, and he wants to force the issue. And, you know, if he can't, then he's getting really frustrated and almost, you know, kind of almost turning around the other way and being – super trying to lock in too much on throwing to the intermediate and getting the ball out of his hands. There's a lot of layers to him, and it, I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know if it's confidence in what he's seeing, confidence in the offense being run, but there's a lot of little issues that are just compounding and compiling to where, you know, he's not the same guy that we've, you know, become accustomed to seeing. He's still a very good quarterback even when he's not that dude.
That doesn't make me feel very good the way that you went with that, because I don't necessarily think that you're wrong, and I also don't think that you're saying that he is done being that dude. It's that he has not been in multiple occasions this season, which is very weird because our barometer is so broken. So, I mean, it's hard to diagnose from out here. I think maybe the most insightful that he has been since this game, I can't remember if it was right after the game or if it was on, well, yeah, for him it would have been after the game, and Reed talked about it a little bit on Monday. Mahomes talked about it a little more again today. But, like, talking about him and receivers not necessarily being on the same page in terms of all the different ways that they'll adjust their routes and everything by what they're seeing the defense give them. And that really caught my ear, because that's been one of the things that they're so uniquely dominant at, and so, like, that's the fun of Mahomes to Kelce, is that just at any given point, you know, as Kelce said on the Manning cast on Monday Night Football, you know, hey, I'm going to go out there and make some bleep up, is like sort of a fun mantra of what they're capable of firing on all cylinders. But that part of it hasn't been quite right this year, according to Mahomes and Andy Reid, based on what defenses are showing them. And I think they'll figure it out, but it's really weird.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I you know, I wrote that comment on throwing some short of receivers, and yeah, looking back, it's not completely on him. There are definitely still some that he just kind of, I think he babied and laid up a little bit, but there are definitely some issues with just receiver depth too. And I think that really here's what gets difficult and here's what gets challenging. If teams are getting better and better at figuring out how to make, you know, take away Tyreek Hill and take away Travis Kelce, there's got to be guys that Patrick Mahomes trusts. And sometimes I don't think he trusts Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
Because I think that comment specifically about some of the depth adjustments and stuff was specifically at him. Because you see every week he has to, after one of the targets that is actually past the line of scrimmage for Mecole Hardman. Which is very few. Actually, this week was he finally had. He didn't have. Yeah. By the way, he didn't have a catch past the line of scrimmage since week two until this week.
It's unbelievable.
So it's he's a gadget player. He got some kind of short intermediate catches this week, but there's a lack of trust there, I think, with him in some of these key situations. And there's some they're very obviously off, because they're always having he's always, you know, you can tell he's saying something about depth or route to him once a week. And so they don't have that reliable guy that's able to go in and make some catches. And if teams are able to continue to try to mitigate Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce like the Bills were this week, you know, there's got to be a third, you know, option emerge to really help, you know, and Patrick Mahomes has to be confident in him, because I don't think he is. And I think, you know, there's probably some times here where the early exits in the pocket are, well, Travis and Kelce are covered. I got to go make something happen now, because I don't trust the structure of this offense outside of those two players.
You buying Josh Gordon stock? How you feeling? You want in?
Yeah, I am. I am.
You like selling your house to buy Josh Gordon stock? You got a little, just like some of that money that you can throw out there, and you know, if you lose it, you lose it. What kind of investment are we talking about?
I'm not selling the house, but you know, I might refi and try to get a little cash out. I think you kind of saw a little bit of just what, you know, what he can be, you know, going up and getting a football and Mahomes giving him a shot to go make a play. And I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he can win outside the numbers, you know, like he's a receiver that can go up and win a, you know, contested catch situation against a corner in a one-on-one situation. He's a guy that can stretch the field outside the numbers. There's a vertical plane for him to work on. Oh, and by the way, he can catch slants in the middle of the field. But I think he can stretch this, you know, stretch defenses a little bit more on the edge, where, you know, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill operating in the middle of the field, operating in, you know, on a two-thirds of the field, and defenses really trying to play that. Now you've got a guy that can kind of win in some different areas and free Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to move around a little bit more too. So that's a guy, like, people don't realize Josh Gordon's been good every year he's played.
Yeah.
He just hasn't had a chance to play.
Yeah.
And so he's still only 30 years old. I'd buy it. And, you know, there's a very clear, obvious opportunity for him to play because there's nobody that has stepped up to be a significant factor outside of Hill and Kelce. So it makes a lot of sense.
I'm going to try to remember to ask you this again next time we talk, but I'll get you out of here on this one. Right now, as we stand here on October 13th, the Chiefs are 2-3. The Chargers are at the top of the division at 4-1. If you have to make your prediction right now, where do the Chiefs end the season? I don't need like a specific record or whatever. You don't have to do win-loss, but like, where are they at the end of the season? And then presumably, how does their season end?
Oh, I think their season ends in the AFC Championship game. I think that they are the AFC champs still, somehow. The AFC champs, I think they make a big run here at the end. And I think that's their fate. But it's going to be hard, and it's going to be all the way through week 18. And it's going to be a battle to get all the way back there. But I think they wind up getting all the way back there. I think they lose in the AFC Championship game. I think their defense is just not good enough for them to get over that hump, especially in Buffalo. It's going to be in Buffalo.
I just cannot watch freaking Dawson Knox just just stampeding down the sideline, running past Dan Sorensen again, galloping like a horse. I can't. I don't think that my blood pressure could take it.
Josh, you're not going to have to worry about that. It's going to be Juan Thornhill.
Don't worry about it. It's going to be Jamal Adams. And it's only going to cost two first-round picks.
Well, they do need an edge rusher.
Let's just see if Seattle – I'll tell you this. Here's my last thing. The Chiefs need to stop acquiring former Seahawks. That's my rule.
Yeah, how has that gone for them?
Not great. I'm trying to think of the last good one.
I saw the Seahawks release Trey Flowers this week. I can't wait for that one.
Has there been a good? Well, you know what? Hold on. Josh Gordon had a minute in Seattle.
Yeah,
it was
he did.
5 games and 1 start. That was actually his last spot before being in Kansas City. Wow!
He was pretty good.
7 receptions for 139 yards. That's 19.9 yards per reception. That'll play. I would take that.
Yeah, that'll work. Even if it's just 7 catches the rest of the year, I'll take that. But yeah, so maybe he reverses the curse.
His career average yards per reception is 17.2 on 250 catches. 17.2?
That's a sample size. Yeah, that'll play. I'm telling you, this guy is good. He's very good. Even at 30 years old, if he's 85% of what he's been in his career as a 30-year-old, he's still going to be a major upgrade and a legitimate weapon with Patrick Mahomes throwing to him.
Tyreek Hill's averaging 14.6. I would have gotten that wrong if you would have said, hey, who's averaging more yards per reception over their career, Josh Gordon or Tyreek Hill? I would have lost that bet. But I am doubling down on Josh Gordon. I do need to see, though, if I my landlord wants to give me a month off or something. So I'm gonna I need to liquidate some funds. All right, Kent, I'll let you go. Thank you for making some time for us tonight. Very good to hear your voice again. And I just wish we had more pleasant football circumstances to talk about.
Yeah, it's okay. There's things more important in life, and your health is one of them. So I'm glad I'm talking to you, my friend.
I'm glad to be here. And unlike most of the times that I say that to at the end of a segment, this week I actually do mean it.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you, buddy.
Unnecessary for me to be mean at the end. Thank you very much. I love you too, Cam. I'm sorry that I got mean at the end. It's my defense mechanism whenever things get too genuine.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's really it's something for me to work on. Other than I'm going to do diabetes first and then that second. All right, I'll talk to you later.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
What was that now? This Mighty Voice and I were discussing. You got to get that checked out, man.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I know this isn't necessarily, the biggest demographic right now, but currently the other Phoenix basketball team is in the WNBA finals, and they're down 1-0 right now.
The
and
Suns,
this game is like
the Suns are playing.
No, funny. That's pretty
good.
I would
say the Suns are the other team.
Yeah,
because
fair enough.
As of right now, they're the only losers in the city.
No, that's totally fair.
Cardinals haven't lost.
It's in commercial
Mercury
right
are
now.
Going wow, to try
right,
to win the championship.
The Cardinals haven't lost yet, right? Is that true? Are they still undefeated?
On 5-0.
Yeah. Wow.
Only team worse than the Suns in Phoenix are.
The Diamondbacks
definitely were
not good.
Yeah, real bad.
But you're right. I was.
I can't joke around that.
For me, the other team, I was, Suns first for me. But I'm going to be stressed for the remainder of this game probably. But you know what? I'm going to have a good distraction. Well, it's still going to be sort of depressing because it's sad fans on Reddit, Chiefs edition, following Sunday night's heartbreaking loss to the Buffalo Bills.
And now, a list of things that Kansas City Chiefs fans said on Reddit after losing to the Buffalo Bills. Sputtering in the red zone isn't what I want to see, boys. This is the Chiefs defense I know and love.
We have commercial
sad face
fix
emoji.
That.
Our pass rush makes me physically sick. Collinsworth is a living sneer. Even toilet paper is stronger than this. The no punt streak continues. Sigh. Defense is total Walmart greeters yet again. On what percentage of plays is the DL not absolutely faked out? Where you going, Hitchens? Should have just let Dan walk and enjoy his life as a KC legend for that tack on the Houston fake punt. That was definitely his peak. Hitchens only defends open grass. SMDH. Whiff. The sound of Sorensen. Way to pad your missed tackle lead, Dan. When is
Eric
Berry coming back?
Day to day.
As a KU fan, I shouldn't have to watch both the Chiefs and Jayhawks play defense every weekend.
It's true.
It's just not healthy. The only thing this D is good for is a drinking game where the winner passes out before halftime. Our defense looks like they brought in the Chucky writers to design plays. Sorensen is a baby back. Prove me wrong. Just here for my weekly, what the actual Dan? How's this guy on an NFL team? Dirty Dan looking like the Sorensen tonight. Did Collinsworth really say that Sorensen is one of the better defenders?
He did.
The perfect storm of dirty Dan and pats off a little tonight. Thanks, Sorensen. Now Knox has
so
15 points
Dan.
For me in fantasy.
A lot of Dan.
Too bad it's my free league. Off, Sorensen. Home field advantage doesn't work when your defense wouldn't scare a high school team. Comment. Theoretically, if a tornado touched down and only picked up Spags and Sorensen, I wouldn't be upset.
That feels harsh, man.
Take Benny too, for God's sake. Hopefully Sorensen gets lost walking to the locker room and gets swept away by the storm into another state.
Also
I wouldn't put it past him to not be able to find the locker room, as that's how he's played versus the Bills so far.
There should be more Nick
Bolton. I hate Sunday night football because I either stay up too late or go to bed mad. Dan Sorensen. Him up his stupid
Wow.
Juan that needs to go violent. Break Sorensen's knee so Spags has to put him in every play.
I felt personal for
Comment.
Beer.
Maybe yeah. Spags will retire at halftime. Reply. We should hire someone at the stadium to kidnap him, LMAO.
Please
delay the game long enough for Spags to figure out how to get his head out of his...
Where three guys kidnap a box
I'm straight up not
player.
Having a good time.
My
Smucker's Uncrustables are still frozen. I admire some of y'all's optimism. Sorensen spotted in the locker room making macaroni art and coloring in his Paw Patrol coloring book.
Hey, Paw Patrol
I heard
rocks.
Sorensen doesn't use turn signals when he drives either.
See, that one's funny.
Climate change isn't That's real, good. But now there are weather delays in football. Comment. Bless the weather for keeping this defense off the field.
That's good.
Reply. Thor continues to show his mercy. Game delay while we look for the defense. Sorry for the inconvenience.
Celtic pride.
Play calling, killing another drive after a three and out.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Guess I'll die. Matriculate, you motherfuckers. LOL. This game and Collinsworth to the moon.
I like matriculate, you motherfuckers.
Anything is possible.
Anything
Dirty Dan
is possible.
With the patented turnstile tackle technique. Will someone please Collinsworth so I can have a moment's peace?
I thought Collinsworth only talked good things about
that
the Chiefs.
I need a cigarette. Comment. Anyone that thinks the refs cost us this game are out of their minds. Playing like hot garbage cost us the game.
That's
Reply.
Correct. Yeah.
Garbage would have given up less points.
Mm-hmm.
We played like the raw sewage coming out of Washington. At least I can go to sleep knowing the Bills never won a Super Bowl. And now, the bronze medal. Comment. Sorensen is going to have a pick six now. He senses the hate. He thrives in it. Bathes in it.
I Apply. Expect that.
This is how
Only
you know
if
he's
Allen
washed
throws
up.
It way, way behind the receiver.
Sorensen's clearly washed up because he's not making those plays.
And now, the silver medal. Little shrimpy defense born from pea pods. Just a bunch of little babies out there.
What?
And now, the winner of things that Chiefs fans said on Reddit. I refuse to watch another Chiefs game until they play next.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's a pretty good last one.
This WNBA Finals game is tied with 90 seconds left, and the fans are doing the wave.
Oh, yeah.
That... Unfortunately, that's not what you want to... You hate to see it in Phoenix right now. That's really not.
Timed up well with the music there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Talking about the wave and there's just the... Dun, dun, dun.
And then the end of show music plays.
Very nice.
There was something else I wanted to talk about. I mean, there are lots of things. We could have done like a six-hour show
tonight. Watching Dan Sorensen play football hurts.
What?
So watching Dan Sorensen play football hurts?
Yeah, that's painful.
It hurts.
I think we covered most of the Gruden, Schefter, Chiefs, Bills, and diabetes stuff. So I think we've served our purpose for tonight's show. Mm-hmm. If you missed any of it, listening live right now or watching the show in any of our various places, it'll all be up on the podcast feed. You can listen to it there. And then the podcast feed will probably go dark until Sports Saturday. Got a little Sports Saturday action this weekend. And then I'll be back for Chiefs postgame. So
oh, yeah.
Hold tight. I'm going to stay out of the hospital. I'll talk to you on Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to go home and take some insulin. I'll talk to you later. Bye, Mom.